man. Yeah, thank you very much, Rob and Teresa and the Christian Center. And it's very near and dear to my heart to think about the ministry that can go on to people and serving others and loving others. And so that's truly wonderful. I'm a full supporter there. So that's right. We even got out. We told you a little bit, but we got our little 8-month baby boy and our little 2-year-old girl, and we walked the mile in their shoes this past time, and it was a cold day, but it was good. So yeah, so just think about ways that you can help and support and be there for the Christian Center and be praying for them. So and how God's continuing to work there. I just want to pray and then I'll get started, okay? Heavenly Father, we come before you just asking you to speak today. Your work to be done in our hearts. You to remove the things that need to be removed and fill the thing that needs to be filled, our soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today is a very special day. Today is my daughter's 3rd birthday. She's 3 today. I saw it was Beth's birthday too. I think Beth has a few years on Ezzy, but that's right. So, I was just thinking back about these 3 years a lot and how much has changed. And, you know, that poor girl, the 3 years that she's lived, she's had to move a few different times and things have just been crazy at times, but she is such a great spirit and a wonderful, wonderful girl. And I'm so thankful to be her dad, and so I celebrate with you all. There you go. So, but I am I'm glad to be here. I had kind of a tougher week this week. I had to go home to Western Illinois, and my grandma passed away, you know, and so I was with my family, and it was a tougher time, but. But God was with us. We had a great time. We got to visit and share some good stories, I think, you know, just about memories of what we had with our grandma and just cherish each one of those. And man, we spent more time at grandma's house than we did at our own house. So, and that is no joke. We just did. She lived only a couple blocks from my house, and just every day of the summer, it was no doubt we were going to grandma's house. And so, and we had open lunches in junior high and high school where we would walk from our school, and a bunch of kids would go and eat at different places. You know, you could go to the restaurants in town or whatever, but what we did, we walked to our grandma's house. Oh, buddy, we got good stuff. I mean good food, all right? I'm talking like meatloaf and mashed potatoes, and Grandma just took care of us for our lunches. And my cousin Clint was reminding us as we were at the funeral, he was sharing a little bit. He was saying, you remember how word spread throughout our high school about our lunch plans and what we were doing for lunch? And I said, oh, yes, I do. And people were so jealous. Oh, man, all I had was the same old burger and fries at the restaurant uptown. And you guys get the best stuff. You get like turkey and dressing. It was Thanksgiving meal every day for us at Grandma's. And desserts, you wouldn't believe how many good desserts we got. It got to a point where Grandma said, on the end of the week, on Fridays, you invite one friend. You bring them with you, and you bring them in, and we welcome them in, and we're gonna give them a good fed meal, and we're going to just visit with them a little bit, too. So we ended up, you know, inviting a friend at the end of the week, and Grandma would have a little bit more on Friday, and we would do that. So I just was thinking about that, about her desire to welcome people in. And to be passionate about that. As I was writing this sermon, it was really fascinating because I looked at my schedule wrong, I think, because I wrote this message, and I get back here this morning and I realize that I wrote the message that should be for next Sunday today. And so you're getting next week's sermon today, and next week I'll preach what I was supposed to preach today. So what's in your bulletin is incorrect, unfortunately, but that's okay. We're going to just be a chapter later, right, from that. So we're going to be Luke chapter 19. I think it's a chapter later, but we're going to be in Luke chapter 19 today. So if you've got your Bibles, open up with me there a little bit. Luke chapter 19, I want to read verses 45 through 48. Luke 19, 45 through 48. Says this, when Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. It is written, he said to them, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it because all the people hung on his words. I think this is an interesting little passage. It's at the end of Luke's gospel. In John's gospel, it shows up in John chapter 2. And John uses it as a portrayal there. Some people even argue that Jesus does this two times. It's entirely possible, but I'll tell you that I just believe that it is just this one time, but it just comes down to there's a big crowd there. There's a lot of people. If you don't know what just happened, the passage right before it, Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. It's the Passover week. Passover in Jerusalem, and the temple is packed with people, and there's all kinds of things going on in there. They buy and sell their offerings, their sacrifices, and they provide this. They charge a little bit more because they can get a little more money to put in their pocket at that time. They can cheat some people out of some stuff because they weren't able to travel with their sacrifices, and so that's how they do things in the temple. Well, this, as you can imagine, angers Jesus to a righteous anger, stirs something in his heart. And he draws out and he says, the Bible says he starts to drive out those people. It got me thinking about the things in my own life that sometimes I need to drive out of my own heart. The things that I've talked about anyway, as we've that block our way to God, our selfishness, our pride, our arrogance, our own self-loathing, our own just anything that, you know, idols that we build up in our lives that block our view of God. And I think about that in light of this text, because what Jesus is doing is he's driving these money changers out. He's driving out the things that don't need to be in that place. That place is supposed to be a place of prayer, a house of prayer, a temple of prayer. And what's happening is things that don't belong in that place are filling that up. The interesting thing, a lot of times you hear people use this scripture to talk about why you can't do, you know, fundraisers or things in your church or stuff like that. That's not what this is about at all. In fact, Jesus has a deeper meaning. He has a meaning about things that block your view of God. If some of those things do block your view of God, maybe you have to ignore them, maybe you have to get rid of them. But a lot of times I think about it in your own spiritual walk, that when you walk in these doors, what is it that you're thinking about most? About what you're going to do for lunch or the next day or what's going to happen next week? Or are you thinking about Christ? Are you thinking about refocusing your heart, your soul on him? And that's really what Jesus is trying to get at here. The picture of emptying out stuff, driving those things out, taking out the trash, I could say. That smell of trash that builds up if you just let it sit for a few weeks, right? You just wouldn't want that. So you have to take that out. And as you take that out, what you do is you fill something new in. You put a new trash bag in. You get something ready. You start to change some things. This is going to make it better, right? And this is what Jesus is doing. He's not only driving things out, but he's bringing us to an understanding of what needs to come in. Do you see what he says? As he drove out these people who were selling, he says, "It is written, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." And my Bible marks that those are two quotes, actually, from the Old Testament. One from the book of prophet Isaiah and one from the prophet Jeremiah. In both of those passages, let's just look at them, if you would, with me. In Isaiah chapter 56, go do a little Bible study here. Isaiah 56, sometimes I like to draw your mind to it so you know I'm not just making up stuff. Isaiah 56 and Jeremiah chapter 7. It's interesting that both of these passages are about hospitality. Isn't that interesting? It's about caring for others. It's about being there for the people. It's about welcoming people in, the foreigners and the aliens and the strangers among you. So what Jesus is trying to say here is not just stop selling all this stuff. He's saying make room for people and treat the foreigners the same way you treat everybody else. Love them. That's why he says these, that's why he quotes this, I think. If you look at it, if you look at chapter 56 of Isaiah with me, look at verse 4 down through there. We'll go down through verse 7 or 8. "For this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant. To them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I'll give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and will give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." See, Jesus is actually talking about hospitality. The foreigners that come here who are traveling, you guys have made it a den of robbers. You've taken what is this, a house of prayer for all nations, these people who have traveled, and you're stealing from them. They're the outsiders, they're the outcast, and you're not treating them the way that they ought to be treated. The next passage is funny too. In Jeremiah chapter 7, it's about the same kind of thing. The den of robbers comes out of this idea of not welcoming people, not caring for people. If you see, let's start there if you've got your Bibles, just a little bit in verse 4 of that chapter, Jeremiah chapter 7. "Do not trust in deceptive words and say, 'This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord.' If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave your ancestors forever and ever. But look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal, and follow other gods you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house which bears my name and say, 'We're safe, safe to do all these detestable things'? Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching, declares the Lord." Again, how we're treating people. That's what makes this passage so interesting to me. When Jesus is talking about clearing the temple, he's not saying, okay, don't do any fundraisers in your church. He's saying, are you welcoming the orphan, the widow, the homeless, those who are needy? Are you wrapping your arms around them? Are you saying, we care about you and we love you because you're a human being? Because God loves you. That's why Jesus says this. You guys aren't treating people the right way. You aren't loving the foreigners. You're not loving the outcast. You're not loving those who you deem unworthy. So why are you doing what you're doing? Why do you call this the house of prayer? That's why I think about us as a church? What is it in our hearts that needs to be removed in order to make space for people? Here's what hospitality is: truly caring for others, welcoming them in, extending an invitation to spend time with you, to pray with you, caring for you, loving on you, getting your hands dirty every once in a while. It's a tough call to hear Jesus say these things. When he says, I want my house to be a house of prayer, I want my temple to be filled with prayer. Because what Jesus is doing is he's not only removing those things that don't belong there, but he's filling up what needs to belong there, the care for people and the love of God. That's why I think Jesus says the two greatest commandments, love God and love others. The mission of the Free Methodist Church, to love God and love people and make disciples. The Free Methodist Church was started because people saw people who needed help, who couldn't go to church because and they didn't have enough money to pay for the pew they were going to sit in that day. Let's make it free for anybody. Let's provide this opportunity. Let's help you to say, no, we're not going to own slaves. We're going to take a stand on that, and we're going to say, nope, we're against it from the start of our denomination. We're going to say, that's, you can't do that. We're going to see that people are people, and we say, we love you and we care for you. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves you. There's something about this bonding, this relationship that said, we need to come together, we need to draw in. And Jesus is saying, there's enough of you who are pushing others away. That needs to stop. Isn't that interesting that that's who Jesus' righteous anger builds around? Not the people who are having a fundraiser, but the people who are saying, oh no, I don't like the color of your skin, get out of my place. That's who he's talking about. That's why he says, you've made it a den of robbers. You've treated people differently just because they don't look the same as you, just because they don't talk the same as you. Whatever it is that you're showing favoritism because somebody else has a lot nicer suit on, maybe they've got more money to put in the offering plate than the homeless man who walks in with raggy clothes. You put the guy who has all those great wealth and looks so good, you put him in the prime seat and say, you're welcome here. And all everybody goes around and circles him up and hey, yeah, thank you for being here. And that's good. But then they ignore the other person. And Jesus says, you can't do that. You don't show favoritism because God doesn't show favoritism. If you're doing that, you don't belong here. Be gone. You've turned this place into a den of robbers, and it's supposed to be a house of prayer. You know how God works on our hearts? When you think about that idea of a house of prayer, if your life is really a house of prayer, if this temple, when I talk about the body, when my temple becomes a house of prayer, I realize something. There is no room for the things that need to be removed. They've already been removed. There's no room for things that are going to blind me from a relationship with God. It's been taken out. It's washed away. That trash has been taken out. I've been filled with something new. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you look up the fruit of the Spirit, I guarantee you that none of them have a moment of hate in them. In fact, it's the very opposite. It's love. Not a moment where people just want to go away from God. It's about drawing near to him. It's about having the same character, same heart as Jesus. We talk about things like the Elio Center, when you talk about mercy to people who are in need of mercy, compassion to those who need compassion. The worst off, yeah, that's exactly what it's referring to. It's literally those who are the dirt of the world, what people would say. And it's saying, you go and you extend them a hand. Saying, I love you. I care for you. Offering somebody some help. Sharing compassion like Jesus. I want you to know that he loves you deeply because you're a human being and he cares about you. That house of prayer, when your heart becomes a house of prayer, there's not room for robbers in it. Because it's truly been transformed. It's truly listening to what God desires for your life rather than what other people are saying. Because we get too caught up in that. What would people think if I reach out to that person who smells a little bit? What might people say about that if I did that? I don't know. I don't know if I can get along with them. And shouldn't they help themselves? Doesn't it say that God helps those who helps themselves? No, it doesn't. It's horrible. I can't remember the exact quote, Jess, but Martin Luther King Jr. said that it is horrible that we tell people who don't have any boots to pull yourself up by their bootstraps. That rings in my heart. How can you say pull yourself up by your bootstraps if they've not been given boots in the first place? How can we talk about the heart of Jesus when he says, if you see somebody who needs a coat, give them yours. If they need shelter, take them to your place. If they need a shower, let them shower in your house. If they need food, feed them. If you see the need, do something about it. Jesus is talking about welcoming people. This is about the church. That the church would welcome people, then the church would welcome God into it. And by welcoming the heart of God, the heart of prayer, that they would extend that to other people. This is what Jesus is upset about, that people aren't doing that. That's why he quotes Isaiah 56 and Jeremiah 7. He's not pulling things just out of context because he wants to. He wants people to understand this is about being a house of prayer for all nations, for all people. And you're not showing compassion, you're not showing hospitality, you're not loving your brother, your sister, the way God desires. You're stealing from them. And then Jesus is upset. You've turned it into a den of robbers. You've twisted what this place is all about. Of course, that gets some people upset. We know that he upsets those Pharisees and the teachers of the law and that group that is out there. They're the chief priests, right? They're all upset. They're all wanting to kill him now. Because now is enough. You've reached enough. You've called us out on these things too many times, Jesus. We're not listening to you anymore. We got to do something about this guy. And then the other group, it's really interesting. There's commonly that picture in the Gospels, by the way. It's common that there is these group of faithful, you could call them the faithful Pharisees. They're faithful to what they believe to be right and true, and they stick to it. And then you got all these others. The nobodies that anybody wanted around. The outsiders. Those that Jesus hung around with, the prostitutes, the homeless, the hurting, the sick, those in prisons or in hospitals, you know, people you just kind of keep your distance unless you work there. The tax collectors. Talk about being thieves, right? How can you hang out with those people, Jesus? And Jesus sees them and he welcomes them. And do you see what's happening in this text? The chief priests, the teachers of the law, the leaders, all that group, that faithful Pharisee is wanting to kill Jesus. And the other people, it says, hang on his every word. That's what the Bible says. They hung onto every word Jesus was saying because they realized something. This is about them. This is about him showing compassion and saying, we're the poor people who traveled for a far distance, and Jesus is in the temple and he's speaking to them. And he's speaking to the chief priests and the Pharisees. And it's interesting that the chief priests and the Pharisees are the ones who are angry and want to kill him for doing this, for getting rid of the things that need to get rid of and welcoming the foreigner and the stranger into their land and offering this place to be a house of prayer. Why would you be upset with Jesus saying that this temple should be a house of prayer? Because that's upsetting to them. Because they don't want it to be that. They want it to be their own normal routine. They want it to be their good clubhouse, their good old boys club. And they want to be happy with everything. And they want to say, oh, everything's going great. And they don't want to be challenged. They don't want to move forward. They don't want to be discipled. They don't want to be transformed because they already think they have it all figured out. I wonder sometimes how many of us are like that. We think we've got it all figured out. But every single one of us realize something. We need to connect more with those people who just hung on every word of Jesus than those who think they're right all the time just for being right. Because I'd rather spend time with the people that Jesus spent time with than spend time with a bunch of people who wanted to kill him. Because he wanted the place to be a house of prayer. He wanted your soul to be a house of prayer. He wanted your life to be transformed. He wanted to remove anything that would be a den of robbers from your own heart, and he wanted you to practice biblical hospitality. He wanted you to practice love, service, ministering to people. The question is, will we? Will we as Wesley Free Methodist Church show that to people? Oh, I sure hope so. As your pastor, let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you so much for being a God who loves us. Not only us, God, but you love the world. You love the furthest from you. You love the outsider. You want to bring the outsider to be an insider. This is what your gospel is all about, changing lives, working in people's hearts. Father, we just ask that you would help us to love like you, to care for others like you, to minister like you. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. Father, when we mess up, we don't get everything right, we're still working, and we know that you are still working on us. We thank you for that. We thank you for working in our hearts. Draw us to you. Draw us to reconciliation. Draw us to life transformation. In Jesus' name, amen.